Morning. It is awesome to see everyone here today, and I so thankful that you came to spend this time worshiping God in His house and fellowshipping together with us. I do want to make a comment. We had, thank you, Eli. Go ahead, give him a hand. All right. You know, that bucket is doing quite a job here. If you notice, the numbers keep going up out there. Just a little bit at a time, and we sure do appreciate that. The decorations. Doesn't the church look nice? There was a handful of people came in yesterday and did the work. I thank them all. It was quite a job, quite a bit of time spent. So I'm going to keep it anonymous because some like it that way, but let's just give a hand to our decorators yesterday. I don't know what they're doing. Just a few announcements this morning. One is a live nativity coming up on December 18th and 19th. We still need characters, those to fill the roles in the scene. If you can help with that, please sign up out here or talk to Talisa so that she knows. Also, we have a sign-up sheet there, I believe, for refreshments for that night or for those nights. Again, that's a great thing. It's something we do for the community. And if you could just understand and see the feedback that comes from the community, is just a little church here in Freeport reaches out and touches so many lives this holiday season or at any holiday season that we've done it. So make sure you sign up for that. Also, Christmas Eve service, and I'm kind of doing things back 6 o'clock Christmas Eve, plan on being here. I'm doing a series right now on the miracles of Christmas, and I will follow that up on Christmas Eve. So if you want to hear kind of like the way Paul Harvey would put it, the rest of the story, you need to be here Christmas Eve, because that's when everything's going to kind of come together for that, for the Christmas Eve service. Script orders, again, see Tana, and I know she's got some orders that came in, so we can pick those up from her. Crafty Ladies, Monday at 6, Tuesday, church breakfast for those who would like to go at Country Junction. Blaze will meet on Wednesday at 6 o'clock, and next Sunday, just so you know, it is our annual congregational meeting. If you are a member of the church or if you're a regular attender of the church, we would like to have you come. That's the time that we take care of the business of the church, and unfortunately we have to do that. There's things that we need to do is electing new council members or those are reaffirming the council. So you need to be there for that. Any other discussion matters, establishing the budget for the coming year, just a number of things like that. You're a part of the church. And one of the blessings you have is to come and to be a part of the congregational meeting and to just give your input and share your thoughts with that. Next Sunday, following the worship service, is the annual congregational meeting. Okay, I already talked about that. The Christmas concert, we're doing a little different this year. A Christmas concert is going to be on the 27th. That would be actually the Sunday following Christmas. Albert Williams is going to be singing and performing a service. This young man has just a fantastic voice. Did I say it wrong? You guys were laughing at me. I thought I said it wrong. Albert Victor Williams III. Okay. And anyway, he's going to be, and he's going to provide a wonderful opportunity to celebrate in music. And then following that, we're planning on, we'd like to have a potluck, so I'm sure you'll be hearing more about that and putting together a potluck to just a time of fellowship following the service. With that, I would ask that our ushers would come forward. What has God done for you this week? How has He blessed you? As we come together and we receive our offering, we need to realize that God is constantly blessing us, and He blesses us in many ways. And this is our opportunity to return to Him just a portion of what He has given to us. So I pray that you have talked to Him this day, that you have examined yourself before Him and let Him guide you in what you would place in the plate and what you would give to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your blessings are beyond anything we can imagine. And Father, you have blessed us in this church that the needs are being met. You've blessed us, Father, that we can come together on Sundays and worship, sing praises to you, and listen to your word. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that we can hug and relate to and see each other on the street and still recognize who each other is and be there to be a brother or sister. So Father, as we would receive this offering, we want to lift it up to you. We ask, Father, that you would just give the increase, that it would be used for your glory and for your honor, for the building of your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I see us clapping and applauding. Let's all remember that it is God that does this. It's not man. And we don't want us to take the credit for it, but we want to give it to God because it's He. When we lived on the Navajo Reservation, and I was thinking back on it, there was a young girl in our youth group, and we had a pretty active, actually a fairly large youth group for the reservation. The young lady's name was Serena. Serena was this vibrant, energetic, just lovely 16-year-old young lady. She was always involved in, at least when she was there, in whatever the group was doing. If they were playing games, she got into the games. Whatever they were doing, she was involved with. And she loved youth group. She loved coming. There was a very unique thing about Serena. And it made it a little bit harder, at least when I first met her, I thought it was going to be difficult to minister to her. Because you see, Serena was a deaf mute. She was born that way. She could not hear. She could not speak. During the school year, she went to a special boarding school in Santa Fe, New Mexico, that taught children with blindness or deaf or mute, and so she went to that school. I always had fun with her. I didn't quite know how to communicate with her because I didn't do sign language. She was great at sign language. But what she would do to get my attention and just her little way of connecting with me is she loved to come around behind me and tap me on the shoulder. And of course, then I'd turn around and she'd pretend like... So I kind of turned it back on her, and I'd sneak around, and I'd tap her on the shoulder, and she'd get this smile on her face, and she was so tickled. But she enjoyed being there, and she was just such a sweet young lady. One day, I had to drive her back to school. She had come home for the weekend, and the family had no way to get her back to Santa Fe, so I drove her back. And it was amazing when we arrived at the school, and Serena met up with her friends and began to communicate using sign language. It was amazing to watch. As we sat in the cafeteria to have lunch before I headed back, I couldn't help but notice in this big lunchroom area how silent it was. Everybody was communicating, but there was silence. And they were talking and doing sign language with their friends, but I didn't hear it. And I had no idea what was going on. And as I watched this communication taking place with each other, I just couldn't help but kind of reflect on the significance of what God has done for us. I saw in that experience a living parable, actually. You see, we're here on earth. We're busy living our lives. We're pursuing our own agendas, but we're deaf all too often to God. And He's speaking, but we don't hear Him. We don't hear what God is trying to say to us. And God has been trying to communicate His message to us. We're just not getting it. But rather than give up in frustration, God loves us so much that He desperately wants to reveal Himself to us in ways that we can't understand. So He sends His very own Son to communicate His message in a way that we can understand. That's the miracle of Christmas. Folks, that is the miracle of the message. As I've been talking and I've shared, our sermon series that I'm doing right now is Experience the Miracles of Christmas. And it's not enough to just know about the miracle of a Christmas. We need to experience the miracle of Christmas in our own hearts and in our lives. And so today we want to focus on the miracle of the message. The miracle of the message. I want to ask you a question. Now, as most of you know, when I have a question that I ask, I have a follow-up question. So you need to be prepared for that. First of all, how many of you here believe in miracles? Okay. How many of you believe God still does miracles today? All right. Now, somebody give me a definition of a miracle. I believe in miracles. Oh, the little baby, that's good. I believe in miracles. I believe God is a God of miracles. I believe God is doing miracles. But now I say, give me a definition. And there's silence, kind of like Serena. Dana, I'm not asking you. Listen, pastors' daughters don't count because they've heard it all before. It's really simple. It's not hard to figure out what a miracle is. A miracle is something that only God can do, not man. Is that hard? Only God. Karen held up the Abby there, what a sweet baby. And babies are miracles. Only God can create life. Only God can do those things, and certainly they're a miracle. And miracles go around us every single day. You know what? We got all that rain here a couple of weeks ago. First we had all the snow, and then we got all the rain. Can man duplicate that? No. Can't even come close. Not to that extent. In an enclosed environment, he can put these certain things together and create them, but to pour it upon the earth the way God does? See, miracles are all around us, and we miss them. And God tries to speak to us through miracles and things that we don't understand, and we miss it. Do you ever notice somebody, something happens, and then God takes care of it, and we've been praying for it. We don't know how it's going to be answered. We don't know where it's going to come from. And we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and then God answers the prayer in a positive way that we rejoice. And what is the first thing we say? I just can't believe it. Wait a minute, the Bible tells me to pray believing. And if it says I'm to pray believing, then I believe for a miracle, and I believe that God can perform that miracle. I've shared the story before about a woman in the church. And she was going in for it was going to be a mastectomy because they had found lumps. They had taken biopsies, they had taken pictures, they had done all these things, and she was going in for this surgery, and her husband was there, another couple from the church was there, and we met with her before she went in for surgery, and we prayed with her, and we said, Lord, we know it's your will, and we pray your will be done, and we know that this is not what she wants, and it's not really our desire, but Father, we accept your will, and we accept what you do, and we just trust it to you, Lord. And so they took her back. This is somebody here, somebody that we know. And they took her back. And for some reason, I don't know the reason. For some reason, the doctor or the surgeon, before he did the surgery, decided he wanted one more look at the x-ray or whatever. He wanted another set run. And so they did the x-ray. And he came back in. He says, I don't understand this. We've got samples. We've seen it on the pictures. We know it's there, but it's gone. It is totally, completely gone. We don't need to do any surgery. God answers prayer. She came back and they rolled her back in, and I thought, what is going on? Because this was way too short a time for that surgery, and she rolled her back in, they rolled her back in, and what did everybody say? I just can't believe it. Miracles is something that only God can do and man can't. Our Christmas sermon and talking about miracles, it's not enough to just know about the miracles of Christmas. We need to experience the miracle of Christmas in our own hearts and in our own lives. So we're going to focus today on the miracle of the message. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 records the miracle of the message from God. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. God sent Jesus to communicate His message in a way that we can understand. The miracle of the message is that God speaks to us today so that we can know Him and that we can draw near to Him. It's very real, and you can feel His presence and know His presence and walk with Him. It's not something that's abstract and way out here. We know that He is with us. The miracle is the fact that it's God in us. Well, God speaks, and He speaks through history. And He's been speaking throughout history to reveal Himself to us. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to love Him and to worship Him. He reveals Himself to us through His creation. Just like I said, all the things that we see God do, and He made man. He created the earth. He created everything that we have and reveals Himself through His creation. Through the sunrise and the sunset, the sun, the moon, the stars, that's all God. God spoke to Moses in a burning bush. He spoke to the Israelites from the smoke and fire on the mountain. He spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. To Isaiah in a vision in the temple. God spoke to Hosea through his family circumstances, and to Amos in a basket of summer fruit. He spoke to Jeremiah through a potter's clay, and to Joseph through dreams. God even spoke His message through a donkey. God has been speaking His message through visions and dreams, through angels, through Urim and Thummim, through rough symbols, natural events, and many other means. He could really reveal Himself in Ur of the Chaldees, in Haran, or Canaan, or Egypt, or Babylon. There's no lack of variety, for God's revelation is not a monotonous activity that must always occur in the same place in the same way. He does it so many different ways. And God has been speaking throughout history in a variety of places through a variety of means in order to make Himself known to man. I'm going to let you in on a little secret today. God wants to speak to you this year at Christmas. Actually, not just at Christmas. He wants to speak to you every single day. That's the miracle of the message. And he has his own way of speaking to you. Sometimes it's through prayer, and we do hear that voice of God, and prayer is answered, and he speaks to us. Sometimes, and people have a harder time with this, it's an audible voice. Is it possible to hear the voice of God? You got to listen. You got to listen. Many years ago, I wasn't a pastor. And truthfully, at that time, I'm not even sure I was on the road to be a pastor. I was working for the state. But I was going to church, and I was doing Bible study. And I'm driving home. I lived in Mount Carroll, and I worked in Sterling. And I was driving home from Sterling one night, and I'll never forget. And it's a simple message, and you guys can think that the pastor's lost his mind if you want. I don't care. Maybe I have. But I hadn't at that point. And as I'm driving home, I just hear this voice. Nothing special. Just a Dennis. Now, wait a minute. I'm in the truck, and I'm by myself, and there's nobody else in there. I reached over to see if the radio was turned on and off, on or off. The radio was off, and I don't know why the radio would have been saying my name anyway. And I thought, well, that's strange, but it's just my mind. It's my mind playing games and working on me. And so driving along again, I hear, Dennis. Now, folks, that's the only thing I heard. That's the only time it's ever happened. But at that moment, I said, yes, God. And then he began to speak on my heart, and I have plans for you. Something different. Not everybody experiences that, and not everybody experiences God the same way, but he always, always tries to speak to you. Sometime all we have to do is listen. Open our ears, open our heart, open our mind, and let God speak to us. Because he's got a great message to share. He's been speaking, but people just haven't been getting the message. They don't understand God's heart, and they can't get a capture the full picture of God's nature because they're just not listening. Too many in the past claimed to be speaking for God, but only misrepresented him to others. That's confusion and not understanding, which was the result. Well, God speaks through Jesus Christ, his Son. Now at last, God sent his Son to bring his message to us. In the Lord Jesus, God revealed himself directly to us, and it is true that God revealed himself through the words that were spoken by Jesus, through his message. But he did more than that. Jesus Christ is the living, divine Son of God. And he did more than just proclaim God's message. He is God's message. You follow that? He is God's message. And he was sent here for a purpose. And that purpose was to fulfill what God had to say to us, so that we would understand. Jesus came to reveal God and to make him known to us in ways that we can relate to it. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say of Jesus in verse 3, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word." After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. John's gospel describes Jesus as the Word becoming flesh and living among us. So, if you want to know what God is like, Look at Jesus. When Philip asked Jesus to show them the Father, Jesus replied, "Have I been among you all this time without your knowing me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father." It's John 14:9, and then in John 10:30, Jesus declares, "I and the Father are one." If you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. If you've seen the miracles of Christ, you understand the miracles of the Father. There's a miracle in that message. Then God speaks to transform. The miracle of the message is not just the fact that God speaks to us today through His Son, but that His message has the power to transform our lives. That's tough. His message has the power to transform our lives. What does it take for that to happen? We got to listen, and then we have to be willing. See, God is willing to take your life and wherever it is and whatever it is in your life that needs to be changed, needs to be transformed, that needs to be renewed in Him. He's willing to do it. But are you willing to let Him? And that's a hard question, because sometimes for Him to transform our lives, it means change. It means we have to do maybe something that we don't want to do, or go somewhere that we don't want to go, or talk to somebody that we don't want to talk to. But God says, if you're willing, I will make that difference. And there's that message that is given. Christmas is a celebration, and it's a celebration of the greatest message ever proclaimed. God is with us. God came near so that we could draw near to Him. 1 Timothy 2:6 says this, Jesus gave His life as a ransom for all. The message, or the miracle of the message, is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. And Jesus came so that the message, and so that God would be revealed through Him. And His plan to us is given in a way that we understand it. Jesus came to proclaim God's message, that we can be set free from sins and the hold that it has on our lives. I talked to somebody the other day, and this person is, they're approaching the end of their life. Gone to church years and years and years and years and years. Active in the church and faithful. But as they're at that point where their life is coming to an end and that candle is about to go out, they're scared. And this person is unsure, and I said, "What are you unsure of?" And the question that this person asks is, "Can I believe what I've believed is true?" See, it's sometimes easy for us to walk around and say, "I'm a Christian." It's sometimes easy for us to walk around and say, "I have eternal life, that someday I'm going to heaven. Don't know when, but it's going to happen." That's easy. But I've seen it before. As life approaches its end, that fear, that doubt, that questioning that comes over a person. God reveals Himself through His Son. And what we know of Christ, we know of the Father. And Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many homes. If it were not so, I would have told you." I go and I prepare a place so that you may be where I am also. And many other places in Scripture we see where God's promises. You know the problem? We're not listening. And it's not just hearing it with our ears, it's listening with our heart. Folks, right now, God can reach down and touch your heart and say, be at peace, my friends. This world is a messed up place. We have terrorists that are doing terrible things and killing innocent people, and we have people that are afraid and wondering what the future might hold for them. But you know what? God's got a plan. And He's laid it out, and the plan coming from God was given to us by His own Son, saying, you don't need to worry about this life. You don't need to worry about what happens here. I have a place for you where there is eternal life, where there's no suffering and no hurt, no pain, no crying, no tears. He's saying, I have a home for you. This person that I was talking to the other night, I shared the message with him, and I shared some scripture. And then we prayed. Do you believe? I do. And after we got done praying, I asked this individual, I said, are you still afraid? No. Why not? Because God touched me. He heard my prayer and He touched me. And if He touched me, I know that He's real. If He touched me, I know that everything He's promised me is real. You know what the truth is? Ears were opened. Heart was opened to allow the miracle of the message to come in. God's message is that we would be set free from sin's hold on our lives. Why would He do that? We're terrible stinkers. We do all kinds of stuff that we shouldn't do. We rebel. We say no. We do things that go against His Word. And we use His Word as a convenience. I can come to church on Sunday and be the perfect saint and raise my Bible or raise my hands in song and sing praises to God. And then, you know, I come to church and I live like heaven, and then I go out and the rest of the week I live like hell. You know? Because I'm drawn to this. Here are the dirty stories. Oh, I'm going to laugh. Here's the opportunity to lie, I'm going to lie. Here's the opportunity to do anything that the Word of God tells me I shouldn't do, and I'm going to go ahead and do it, but oh, when Sunday morning comes, I'm going to be in church. We need to open our ears and open our heart and open our mind. God doesn't accept that, folks. He doesn't. And He sent His Son to give us a message, and either we live for Him or we are against Him. You can't have it both ways. There's no such thing as balancing on a fence with God on one side and Satan on the other. And people that I see that are find it hardest to understand Christ and the hardest to accept what God has for them are the ones who are trying to balance on the fence. It doesn't work. Jesus came to show us God, to show us a message, to show us a life that is far better than what we understand. Why would He do that? Simple answer. I think God gives simple answers because He knows that's the only ones I'd understand. He did all this, folks, because He wants us to know how very, very much He loves us. He wanted us to know that He created us for a reason, and that we might know and love Him. He came to proclaim the message that we have been set free. We don't have to live as prisoners to guilt or prisoners to regret. Jesus came to strip all that away. Oh, pastor. That's a good message. But you really don't know all the things I've done. I don't. But God does. And you know what he says? He said, it doesn't matter what you've done. My son paid the price for that. You've been bailed out. My son came and he took the penalty. He took the suffering so that you can live eternally. My son came that you would hear the message of the love that I have for you. The love that goes on through eternity. You don't need to have that regret once you've given it to God. We're hard on ourselves. We beat ourselves up pretty bad. Oh, the things I've done. Let me tell you something, folks. If you've given those to Jesus Christ, if you've given it to God, man, it's gone. It's gone. You don't have to hold on to it. And aren't we a prideful people? We give it to God, and then what do? We've given it to God, and then we sit there and continue to put it on ourselves. God says, I forgive you. God says, it's over. It's a clean slate. You asked my forgiveness, I gave my forgiveness, and you got a new life. And when you received me, it all started over. And your sins are forgiven. And we sit there and say, oh no, God, we're greater than you. We're going to carry our sins with us. Man, the stuff I've done. Did God forgive it? If he forgave it, don't we need to forgive ourselves? He doesn't want us to carry it with us. It's junk. It's excess baggage. It's weight. It drags us down. It destroys us. It hurts us. He says, I forgave. Now you forgive. By the same measure you forgive, of course it says others, you also will be forgiven. But by the same measure you forgive yourself, maybe that has a little bit to do with it. Let it go. Because that's the message of Christ. That is the message of that little child that came into this world as innocent as can be, born in a stable where there were animals and laid in a trough where the animals would eat. And all of this, that he came into this sinful world for you. He came into this sinful world to show the love of God to you, that you would know who God is and how much he loves you and how much he set you free from the past and set you free from sin. It's the love of God that we carry. That is the message at Christmas. And I'll tell you what, people try to destroy that. They don't want you to hang on to it. Why do we see so much of, we can't say Merry Christmas, it's Happy Holidays? Nonsense! I'm saying Merry Christmas and I don't care. And if somebody doesn't like it, then I'm happy to talk with them in a very loving way and share with them what the message of Christmas is. I got a friend on Facebook, and he posted something the other day about not wanting to say Merry Christmas. Well, it's the name of the holiday, people. It's Christmas. You're no other name. Nothing else you can call it. It's Christmas. Christ Mass. It's Christmas. So why don't we say it? Stores telling their employees, you can't use that terminology. You have to say Happy Holidays. It's Christmas. It's the beginning of a new world. It's the beginning of a new revelation that's come from God, the revelation through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that. It's Christmas, a time to realize how much God loves us. A time to remember a miracle that happened over 2,000 years ago that changed the world. Do you realize that? God's Son, one and only Son, changed the world, and the world will never be the same. It's Christmas, and the miracle of the message is the love of God. You know, this past year, some have received messages that have certainly changed your life. You heard the message from a doctor when he said it could be cancer. You heard the message from a teenager as there was a rebellious act. For some, they heard the message from a spouse, "I don't love you anymore." As a result of the message that you got, your life has changed. But in the midst of all, there's another message. Nothing whatsoever, listen to this, nothing whatsoever can ever separate you from my love. Nothing whatsoever can ever separate you from my love. He speaks. Did you hear it? And he says, trust in me with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me and I will direct your paths. Trust in me with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. And that's hard for us. We want to know the answers. It's hard for us to let go and just trust God. But he's saying, lean on me. In all your ways acknowledge me and I'll direct your paths. In the midst of life's betrayals and bitter messages, he whispers. And he says this, forgive those who mistreat you. In the midst of life's messages of joy and celebration, he shouts, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Forgive those that mistreat you. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad. The miracle of Christmas is the miracle of the message. God loves you. He loves me. Folks, are you listening? Are you listening? Believe the message God is speaking to you, and your life is never going to be the same. That's what we believe. That's the miracle of the message. Now, Serena taught me, and I have forgotten this, and Donna may have to help me or somebody else, but I remember one of the things that Serena taught me, and she really wanted me to know this. And there's a, what is love? Which, this one? Is this I love you? And what Serena would do is she would do this, and then she'd look at me and she'd do this. And what she's saying is, God loves you. Maybe we ought to try that with each other this year. Just not say a thing, just point and hear. God loves you. Do that with me once. We point and then hear. Yeah. And wait for somebody to ask you. Wait for somebody to ask you, what on earth are you doing? Well, my pastor told me to do this goofy hand thing. I'll never forget that precious young lady who, even though she was deaf, even though she was mute, she showed and shared more of the love of God than probably any of the students I had. Folks, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue to think about the miracles at Christmas, certainly the miracle of the message that was sent is as important as any. Father, through the silence that fell for so many years, Lord, you sent your Son and he showed us love. He showed us your love and your blessings. And there's a message there, Lord, that can only come from you. So as we continue with our celebration, looking at Christmas and the birth of a Savior, let us share that love. And I pray, Father, that we would show it to those who may even be resistant, just that they would know that you love them. And we lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.